I brought you a first part of a series I wrote for you. The first one was Things to Remember. And then I told you things to do. And last week I started with things never to do. And we talked about, you know, why do people fall away from the church? Why do they do that? Why do they come and then they go, then they come and then they go? You look amongst you here. You might see some people that you haven't seen in a while. And you might see some people that you've seen quite often, not here. Why is that? And I think we talked about, you know, for those of us that have been in Faith Community Christian Church now for 11 years, we said, how many people have we seen and go and haven't seen again? And I think we came up with a pretty large number, right? It was almost like 100 or something come and go. Why is that? Why is that? The Lord didn't go anywhere, right? In fact, sometimes people will say to me, well, sometimes I feel that the Lord's just not close to me. Well, the Lord said he's not going anywhere. Didn't he say that? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of age. And so if people don't feel close to the Lord, who left?
You.
They did. He didn't leave. You left. You moved away. And so I said last week, I know you kept really good notes. I told you last week, I said to you, this is the first thing that happens why people fall away from the church. What was the first reason? Somebody say pride.
Pride,
exactly, pride. We said pride. Remember we said pride. And the example I gave you was Peter. And what was Peter? What was Peter's issue? What did he say that got himself into trouble? He said, I will never do it. The whole world will do it. The other 11 guys may do it, but not me. I'm too strong. I'm too faithful. I love you too much. I will never, ever. And then how many times did he do it?
Three
times. So pride will get you every single time. The second reason I told you that people have a tendency to fall away from the church is you start to get what?
Lazy.
But I'm not talking lazy going out and digging a hole. Lazy spiritually. Well, we pick up with a new reason today why people fall away from the church. I'll have you turn to your scriptures, please, to Mark 15:54.
Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself by the fire.
He followed from where?
A distance.
He followed the Lord from a distance. Cowardice. Cowardice. You know, in the year 2015, if we're going to just be perfectly honest with ourselves, being a Christian is not all that terribly popular anymore, is it? Not really. People really don't pick on me too much because they expect I'm following the Lord, right? They don't pick on Sissy too much either. They pretty much know what they get. If people want to hang around with Sissy and I, they pretty much know what they're getting. So we're not backing up. We're moving forward. And so people who come around with Sissy and I, they pretty much know what they're going to get when they hang around with she and I. So they rather not what? Hang around with me and her. They pretty much know what to get. We don't get invited to a lot of places. We don't get invited to a whole bunch of parties. And you know what? That's okay, right? Because we're not moving. We're not moving. You're going to get what you get when you talk to us too. But here's the question. How about you? Do you put your Jesus clothes on only on Sunday morning and party hardy Friday night? Seriously, I'm asking. Do you do whatever you're going to do 6 days a week, but Sunday put your Jesus shirt on and put your Jesus clothes on and come to church, hey, I'm a Christian. And then you leave and you go out there into the world and you're no longer one of those things because you're a coward. Because you don't want people to know. People might talk about you. But guess what? They're talking about you anyhow. How many know people are talking about you anyhow? And if you don't think they're talking about you, I'm talking about you now. So somebody is talking about you. I'm talking about you. So people talk about you anyhow. And Peter, the zealot, Peter, who said, not me. Oh, them other guys, yeah, but not me. Not me. Was he following him now? From a distance. Don't get too close to him. People might know I'm what?
With him.
I'm with him. They may know I'm with him. So the minute you start to get a little timid in your faith, the minute you start to get a little timid in your calling, The minute you get a little timid, guess what's going to happen to you? You'll fall away. You're going to fall away. Peter clearly understands that. Because the Peter who would never leave him, the Peter who would never deny him, the Peter that would lay his life down for him has now fallen what? Back there. Afraid. He has become afraid. And you know why he's become afraid, brothers and sisters? You want to know why he's become afraid? I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you why it happens to you too. I'm going to tell you why. You know, when Jesus is feeding the 5,000, he's pretty popular, ain't he? Oh, he's feeding the 5,000, and that's 5,000 what? Men. How many women and children do you think? If you extrapolate that, you know, how many men and women and children do you think are there? How many say more than 5,000 at least, right? Oh, he's popular now. Hey, look what Jesus does. Look what Jesus. Hey, Peter said, yeah, I'm with him. He's my guy. I brought him the kids' lunch. I'm the guy. I'm this guy. I'm his guy. Man, oh, I am one of his. Fact is, I am it. And then when he healed the lepers, Peter said, this is my guy. I'm his best friend. Yep. When he made the lame to walk, the guy, pick up your mat and come follow me. Peter says, hey, I'm with him. See, I got my Jesus shirt on, see? Being him, now he's a little unpopular now, ain't he? See, now he's unpopular. Factors are going to what? Kill him. It's not popular following him now, so Peter's following from where? A distance. Can't we all follow him on Sunday morning? Oh, man, get your praise on, right? Get your praise on. Get downstairs and get in that supper line. Get your praise on. But go out into the world and see if you get your praise on. Go out into the world where he's not so popular and see if we can get a praise on. You still got your praise on then? When he's not popular? Oh, you won't deny him, but you won't profess him either. You just keep what? I hope they don't know. And then comes Pastor Thomas Sissy, you go, ah. And I bet they're going to come right up to me too, put a hug on me. They're going to know. You know that's true. I know that's true. And guess who else knows it's true? He knows it's true too. You know what I love? I'll tell you what I love. I love sometimes when I have to ride with somebody or borrow somebody's car. About a month ago, maybe not quite that long ago, Sissy's truck was broke down out in the parking lot, and I had to go get a part. And one of my brothers said, hey, use my truck. Because the car was taken apart, was sitting there apart. A brother of mine said, hey, take my truck. And I got in the truck, I turned the keys, man, and even I heard turned the music down. Caleb was booming in that truck. Booming in that truck. Booming in that truck. How many know whose truck that was? Whose truck was that, Mark? Mark's truck. I went, yeah! I don't think you care anybody knows, do you? No. You see, you follow from a distance. Ashamed when he's not popular. Remember that lunchroom I told you that I had visited and I heard the women talking? Remember I told you that story? Somebody else must have heard that talking too, and I didn't know it. Because I was there last week, and inside the lunchroom was a lone woman by herself, sitting at the very lunch table, and she had open on the table one of these. And she was reading. Oh, she was alone. But guess what? She was reading. She said, I'm going to change this place. It's bold in her faith. And since she did that, I haven't heard one more of those conversations again. I mean, that's bold in your faith. You think she's very popular? Probably not. You think she cares? Definitely not. How many knows she's popular with him? She's popular with him. So if you are ashamed of Jesus when it's unpopular, when you're ashamed, when you're giving thanks, If you're ashamed to be seen with other Christians, maybe you're not one. That's kind of bold, huh? You know, somebody once told me, brothers and sisters, if you have to tell somebody you're a Christian, guess what? You're not one. They should know. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You know, we don't worship a part-time God. There's only part-time Christians. And we don't worship a halfway God. We only have halfway Christians. How many understand that too? And so Peter, who said, I will never deny you. Now he's walking about 20 yards behind them because he doesn't want to be seen with them because now he's not too popular. Last night at the Wild Things game, all of us guys are sitting together. And as attentive as I usually am, I turned to Christian Bob. I said, hey, when are they going to announce our name? They said, they already did. I hate when I miss those things. Popular. How many are Christian on Monday morning? How many people know you're a Christian on Monday morning? Okay. Anybody ashamed of that?
No.
Not me. Let's turn to Mark 8:38.
If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the enormity of that passage of Scripture? Think that through. Think that through. When you get to stand before the throne of God and Jesus says, I don't know, don't blame me for him. He's on his own. Can you imagine that? Can you begin to imagine the enormity of that? Jesus is ashamed of you. Whew. That's huge. That's huge. That Jesus the Christ will be ashamed of you. I can't begin to imagine that. Can you? Turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8.
But the cowardly, unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death.
Some on that list, I could grasp some of the unbelieving. Why? I know that. Who doesn't know that, right? If a person does not accept Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior and they're unbelieving, what happens to them? Hellfire. How many agree with that? That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. But look at the list. Look at the list. Unbelieving. Well, I understood that. Vile, murderers, sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, idolaters, and all liars. I can understand that, but what's the first one?
Cowardly.
Wow, cowardly. And I know many people are going to say, I'm not a coward, man. I'll get right in your face. Call me out, but you're going to have a little trouble with that. That's one thing I'm not. I'm not a coward, man. I'll get right in your face. Help me understand. That's not what it's talking about. Cowardly means professing Christ. That's what it means. That means when you're in the company of others and you want to pray before your meal and everybody laughs at you. What do? Sissy and I won't even watch an R-rated movie. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you that to make us to be bigger. I'm simply saying to you that when people ask us to go to movies and we see it's rated R, we say we're not going. People look at us and they go, how old are you? I know you act like a kid, Pastor, but how old are you? And we're not afraid to tell you. We don't need to do it. How many agree with that statement? We don't need to do it. And you need to stand up and you need to be counted. That's what you need to do. And Peter's now fallen from what?
A distance.
He's afraid. Afraid for who?
Himself.
For himself. Boy, everybody wants to follow Jesus at a Billy Graham crusade. But who doesn't want to do that, right? Billy Graham crusade? Promise keepers? Yeah! Christian concert? Yeah! I'm in! But what about mixed company when you're not popular being with Christ then? Oh, you may pray for them. Pray God's blessing upon them that they may come to know the truth that sets them free. But, shh. Hey, aren't you one of those Christians? Aren't you one of them? What did Peter say? I don't know the man. Three things so far that you need to know you should never do. What's the first thing? Don't get your pride on. Get your pride on, guess what's going to happen to you? Number two, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy spiritually. Number three, what is it? Don't be cowardly. Don't be cowardly. Number four, turn to our Bibles, please. Mark 14, verse 54.
Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire.
Yeah, where's he sitting?
The guards.
He's sitting with the very people that want to kill him. Is that something? He's sitting, check it out. He's sitting in the courtyard with the very people that want to kill Christ. He's sitting right smack dab in the middle of the enemy. Ain't that something? The ones that they testified against, the ones that they brought, Jesus said, you brood of vipers. You brood of vipers. Now where's he sitting? Right in the brood. Rubbing elbows. Rubbing elbows with the enemy. You know, when you are ashamed to be seen with Jesus, it becomes easier to mingle with those who don't love him. Isn't that true? Oh, when you deny him, it's easy to be at the lunch table with those who don't profess him. It's easy. Get in with the conversations that they converse about. Get in with the kind of jokes they're talking about. Oh yeah, it's cool. It's really easy to mingle with them when you're not one against them. Isn't that true? And where's Peter now? Where's Peter? Right in the middle. Is he ministering to them? Come on, let's be real here. Let's be mature in our faith, right? I know what some of you want to say. Of course I'm in the bar. I'm ministering to all of the people. All right. Come on, lay it on me again, right? I'm in the bar because I'm ministering to them. Right. Of course, how are they going to know unless I tell them? How are they going to know? How's this fallen, perverse world going to know if I don't go and tell them? And I go, wow, tell me what you told them. What passage of scripture did you quote? Man, I'm all ears. Tell me. Well, my presence was there. Peter's was present in the brood too. Wasn't he? Of course he was. It's easy. He, Peter, is now sitting with the servants of the high priest. The one that wanted him dead. He's now sitting right there. Right smack dab. Turn your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 6, 27 to 29.
Can a man scoop fire into his lap without burning his clothes? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished.
Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on coals without his feet being scorched? Peter is warming his hands at the fire of the servants of the high priest. You think he's going to get burned? Oh yeah. How many of you know this cliche? You've learned this like a bazillion years ago. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. How many know that? How many ever learned that? If you play with fire, guess what? You're going to get burned. And Peter is warming his hands on the fire. You remember when Jesus said to Peter, three times you're going to deny me. Three times you're going to deny me. And Peter is sitting at the fire, warming his hands with the servants of the high priest who was already plotted to get Jesus Christ. How many know the stage is already set? The burn is coming, right? The burn is coming. The servant says, hey, you were with that guy. You're a Nazarene. Warming his hands by the fire. Guess what happens? He got burned. If you play with fire long enough, brothers and sisters, guess what? You get burned. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33.
Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Bad company corrupts good character. Hey, how many remember, of course my kids are here, they'll know for sure. How many were ever told by your parents, hey, don't hang around them kids, they're going to get you in trouble? How many have ever been told that one time in your life? Don't hang around those kids, you're going to get in trouble. How many know now that you're older, your parents were right? Weren't they right? Don't hang around those kids, you're going to get in trouble. Hey, here's a better question. How many of you were those kids other mothers warned them against? We got one. Oh, we got two. Oh, we got three in the back. All the rest of you, let's go back to that thing about, you know, liars and stuff. That other slide. How many were those kids that their mamas told you about? Oh, more hands go up. See how that works? Dave, in the way. Yes? Woo! Dave was sitting next to his mama. He goes. And Mary goes like this. Dave was the good son, right? So we absolutely know, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. But let me tell you this. You flirt with the world, it's going to get you. I'm telling you, you flirt with the world, what's going to happen to you? It's going to get you. And that's why you need to surround yourself. Peter should have been sitting with John and James and all the other guys, but who's he sitting with? With them. And guess what happened? He got burned. So far there are four things you should never do, right? Don't get your pride on. Don't make the whole world all about you. Don't become lazy in your scripture reading. Don't become lazy in your following the word of God. What's the third one? I just told it to you. And when the fourth one? Don't become worldly. Don't become worldly. And here's the fifth one. Turn your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 14, verses 66 to 71.
While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you are talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near to Peter said, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about."
The fifth thing you never want to do is to deny the Lord as your Savior. Don't do that. Don't deny Him as your Savior. Peter has done everything that leads to this point. He became prideful. All about him. I will never do this. He become lazy. He's sleeping. When the Lord says, "Stay awake and watch for me," sleeping. Became lazy. Lazy in his walk. Lazy in his watchfulness. He's become cowardly. He's following where? From a distance. He become worldly. He's sitting where? Right smack dab. In the very same company of those who decided that they wanted to kill Jesus. And what's the final thing he now does? Denies him. Weren't you with him? I know you were with him. I don't even know him. There was and forgive me if I told you this last week, I do so many of these services, I keep forgetting who I told this to. There was a church down south where a guy walked into a very large church. And he came into a church with a hood and an AK-47. He walked right up the middle aisle of the church. He stood there with the AK-47 and he said, "You got 10 minutes before I start shooting. If you're not a Christian, leave now." You get the idea? He walked into the church up the middle aisle with an AK-47 with a hood over his face. He said to the congregation, "If you're not a Christian, leave now. You got 10 minutes. People couldn't get out fast enough. The 10 minutes were over, there were 15 people sitting in the pews. He turned to the pastor and said, "There's your Christian pastor, preach," and walked out. Peter is putting himself in grave danger. What's the grave danger? What's the grave danger? I mean, he's sitting in the middle of, you know, a bunch of guys, right? He's sitting there, and he's asked three times, and three times says, "I don't know him, I don't know the guy." He just put himself in grave danger. What's the danger? Eric?
He's sentencing. He could sentence himself to eternal death.
How could he do that?
By the name of Christ.
That's it. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 33. Matthew 10, 32, 33. Peter just put himself in very grave danger. Mortal danger. Not from them. What are they going to do to you? What does the Bible say? What are you? You're afraid of men and women that can break your bones? You're afraid of that? You're afraid of them? You need to be afraid of the one that can send your soul to hell.
Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven.
You're right, Eric. By denying Christ to man, guess what? You're very much in danger of Christ doing what? Denying you. The fifth thing you never want to do, don't deny. Now, come on now. Let's be grown up here, okay? I know and you know you're not going to stand up in front of a bunch of people and say, I deny Jesus Christ. You know you're not going to do that. And I know you're not going to do that. You won't publicly get up where you work, or you won't probably get up in front of your family. You won't publicly get up in a Walmart and say, I deny Jesus Christ. I know and you know you would never do that. How many would never do that? You would never do that. I know that. But you might make excuses why you won't go to church. Maybe you'll do that. Maybe you make some excuses when a service project comes up and we need some busy hands. Oh, you might make an excuse for that. You might make an excuse why you can't get to the Bible studies on a Wednesday night. You might make an excuse for that. Oh, you would never stand up and deny him. Who would ever do that? That'd be foolish. How many know that'd be foolish, right? But you might deny him in other ways. How many know your actions speak so loud? I can't hear. What's that? I can't hear a word you're saying. It's not by what you say. It's by what?
You do.
Or don't do. Luke 22, 60 to 62. Before you read this, sissy, here's the really, really good news, guys. The really, really good news is that when you do these things and you're in danger of these things, chances are pretty good another Christian's not with you. Because you wouldn't do that amongst other Christians. You wouldn't. I'm serious. If I'm out with, if Sissy and I are out with you, and we go to some restaurant or something, we say, hey, let's pray over our meal. You're never going to say, oh no, I don't want people to talk about me. You would never say that. You know what you would do? That's what you would do. Of course that's what you would do. We know that's what you would do. So here's the really good news. When we do these things and we just don't profess him, or we just turn away from him, or we're embarrassed of him, chances are pretty good when you do that, you're not with anybody who cares anyhow. How many understand that? You're with people who don't care. You care more about people who don't care. Isn't that crazy? So Peter is in the midst with the servant of the high priest. And he's amidst people who says, you're with him. I know you're one. You're a Nazarene. You're one of them. Of course, he's going to deny them. What does he care? He's with them who aren't watching him. Right? He's safe. Or is he? Luke 22, 60 to 62.
Peter replied, man, I don't know what you are talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Of course, none of the other apostles saw him, did they? Nah. They didn't see him. He wasn't with them. They didn't notice him deny. He wasn't with them. For who did notice?
Jesus
did. He did. How many have the Holy Spirit inside of you? How many have the Holy Spirit inside of you? How many know that every time you make an excuse about why you can't be in a Bible study, or you make an excuse about why you can't be in church, or you make some kind of excuse why you can't do this or you can't do that. How many know, probably none of your brothers and sisters heard you, but how many know the Holy Spirit heard you loud and clear? He heard you. He heard you. And I think he weeps. He weeps. So, what do we do with that? Next week I'm going to tell you about the things to do to make sure we don't fall victim of this. And I need you to clearly understand, church, we're talking about the apostle who?
Peter.
If you don't think it can happen to you, anybody want to try to put Peter's shoes on? If it could happen to Peter, Whitey, happen to anybody, right? Let's be in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hearing of these words today, Lord. And if it can happen to Peter, it can happen to any of us, that's for sure. We got to make perfectly clear, Lord, that we don't become too prideful. We got to make perfectly clear, Lord, perfectly clear, that we do not become lazy in our scriptural walks. We have to make absolutely positive, Lord, that we don't become timid. We can't be cowards. We got to stand up and be counted. We got to make absolutely sure, Lord, that we don't become too worldly. If we do those things, Lord, we will wind up denying you. We will. So, Lord, help us to clearly become aware by Peter's shortcoming, what happened to him. Father, help us to be what Peter became afterwards. In your most awesome name, we pray these things. And all of God's children said,